I'm going to talk about war today. There's a real war, and the war is when you and I are fighting our consciousnesses. There's a tremendous level of frustration in America. People want something, or many somethings, but can't seem to get them. Because U.S. politicians are so eager to point fingers at everyone but themselves, frustrated people who aren't processing information very well, in the first place, except that others are to blame for their failings. Because responsibility sounds like blame to many people, both responsibility and blame are avoided at all costs. But responsibility is not blame. It is causativeness. If you and I are responsible, we can cause. If what you've been causing so far is not producing the effects that you want, you can change how you cause. People avoiding responsibility have no such choice, but they have to wait and hope someone else will cause what they want and need. Consciousness is an important idea. My late wife Marianne used to tell me this, "Tom, you may know what you mean by consciousness, but nobody else does. Can't you figure out another way to say it other than use the word consciousness?" I would answer, "How about the word awareness? Would that make it easier?" And she would say, "Yes, it does." This is an important idea about how your consciousness or awareness, two words mean the same thing, which, by the way, should be expanding as you grow through the entirety of your life. You and I will not be able to be or do or have anything that is not vibrationally aligned with our consciousness. If you knew that every thought you think, every feeling you feel, every word you speak or don't speak, every action you take or don't take, are strongly influenced by the content of your consciousness. Think of this. Everything you have thought, heard, seen, tasted, smelled, believed, sensed subconsciously influences what you can be, do, and have. If you grew up in a fearful, superstitious, religiously dogmatic, or judgmental family, all these environmental signals are still impacting you and how you live your life. There is a misunderstanding about willpower. It is believed that willpower of a successful person is what made her successful in the first place. It did not. Willpower is the mental emotional effort used by people to do something they are not vibrationally aligned with. Most people can't sustain this effort long enough to actually make a difference on their consciousness. They usually tire and revert to old habits. Will is different than willpower. Will is the energy impelling us to do, to create, to achieve, to move. It could be labeled as an aspect of the male energy. Could call it energy of Father God. Purpose, which is the equal partner of will, gives the reasoning and energy for the organization of the efforts and ideas and energy into what is being created. Purpose could be labeled as an aspect of female energy, or as an aspect of Mother God. It should be clear that bringing ideas into physical manifestation is a function of female energy. If, through your experiences in your life, you don't have easy access to your male or female energies, and you're going to want both of them, creating will be more difficult. When one parent is repeatedly criticized in your early life, the tendency we will develop is to deny your own connection to that parent. The demonization of one parent by the other parent to children forces the children to deny parts of themselves in order to be loyal to the criticizing parent and in order to feel safe and loved. The denial of maleness in men can show up as, and don't have to be a man, it could be a little boy. So it's really the denial of maleness in males can show up as a denial of their physicality. Not using your body as a male is contrary to the nature of our electromagnetic self. Instead of being physically active, they become sedentary. Instead of using their bodies to cause effects, they choose to be more or less inert. Instead of enjoying their physical bodies, they ignore, abuse, neglect, or poison it. Is this statement true? How you feel about yourself is the ground for the energies and the attitudes that you use to have feelings about everybody else and everything else. The resistances we encounter are our own projections into the world. For the most part, we expect resistance and that draws it to us. We are not victims in life. We are volunteers. We create our lives. Consider this idea. You physically exist in a bubble. Back in time, the sperm and the ovum that contained the genetic traits of your parents were two bubbles that formed you. The next bubble. You were a bubble inside of a bubble of the amniotic sac. Your skin was and still is the outer physical layer of you, the present-day bubble. It is known that our pregnant mother's dietary habits entered and influenced our food preferences from the inside. Things our mothers heard, said, did, felt, entered our consciousness, which was us, the bubble, and everything in it. Not only were physical energies from food and drink added to our bubble, but unseen energies too. More energies were added during the labor and the birth processes, sometimes so intensely that they influence our lives from then on. So here we are, little bubbles that just emerge from other bubbles, our mother and the amniotic sac. Very soon after we've been cleaned up, our bubbles are stabbed with needles and vaccines are shot into us. This technique of stabbing babies with sharp needles to pump toxic materials into the bubbles is accepted as good medicine. The outer layers of our bubble, the skin physically and our ego mentally and emotionally, our awareness, are all designed to protect us from unwanted things entering us. Babies are relatively helpless to protect themselves. And maybe this is true for all of us, all the time. Bruce Lipton proposes that children have no way to filter out harmful environmental signals like criticism, etc., until about the age of 6, when their awareness helps them to realize the source of the signals may be the problem and not them. We have many common expressions that seem to support my idea that we are bubbles. You've heard, that was a cutting comment. He spoke sharply to me. What you said pierced me like a knife. She tore my heart out. They stabbed him in the back. I read years ago that all upsets and conflicts will involve one or more of these three things. I put it to the test as I do with most things, and frankly, I found it to be true. Number one, all upsets and conflicts will involve unfulfilled expectations, thwarted intentions, or undelivered or unreceived communication. It hurts when our expectations are not fulfilled, our intentions are thwarted, and we don't deliver communications, or if we do, it isn't received. When human experience is hurt, instinctive reaction is to blame. Our ego tells us to blame others, but later, sometimes much later, our ego turns on us and blames us for the hurt. If you look at how Donald Trump behaves, you can see that he accepts no responsibility for the hurts he is experiencing. He is a pathological blamer. However, if we don't consider our own part in creating our expectations, intentions, and the communications that we didn't deliver or receive, we can't really elevate our level of awareness. It would be as if we had an accident, but then we refuse to consider what may have caused it. When you put your attention on anything, your consciousness informs you if you want to bond, that is, get closer, maybe occupy the same space, or even own it, or reject, that is, push it away, increase the distance and barriers between you and it. Because everything is energy, including you, your attention, your intention, and the thing that you put your attention on, to be, do, and have something, you and it must be vibrationally equal. Otherwise, the distance will keep you separate. Being equal means there is little or no energy of rejection. There is energy of allowing and accepting. If you want to accomplish a goal, part of you is seeking to bond with that goal. For most of us, reasons not to accomplish that goal arise immediately out of our consciousness, informing us to reject the steps to accomplishment. Maybe the self-talk is about how much time, effort, money, etc. the steps will require. Maybe fear of consequences of those required actions tell us the risks outweigh the rewards. Maybe our feelings of vulnerability have been habitualized for us to, instead of move forward, to back up and go into self-protect mode. That brings me to this conclusion. If you can't or don't take steps to be, do, or have what you want, your consciousness has more powerful reasons stored in it for not taking those steps. You don't have to fight your consciousness any more than you have to fight your weight or fight an illness. You just have to declare peace with yourself and start upgrading your consciousness to be equal to what you want to be, do, and have. Our ego commands us to do these four things all the time. Defend the self from criticism, emotional, physical attack. Come in first in every situation where there's a possibility of being compared to someone else. Take the best of everything for yourself. Hold on to everything important to the ego, such as power, influence, status, money, friends, family, property, etc. And do all these things, no matter how much resistance or opposition we encounter from people whose egos are commanding them to do the same thing. Guess what? We are going to fail many, many times. What child can protect itself from adults or bigger, stronger, older children? What child or adolescent can win every single competition? What person can so disrespect other people's needs and wants and then take everything they want for themselves? And what person can prevent loss when others are driven by their egos to take what you have? Our egos do not good-naturedly accept our failings. It will beat us like a jockey hits a horse to get it to run faster. Instead of a riding crop to beat the ineffectiveness out of us, it uses words in our self-talk, images of pain, anything that creates bad feelings that we don't want to continue. Feelings of ineffectiveness hurt. We will try to avoid or fight situations that, based upon our experiences, are likely to lead to more pain. We blame, we procrastinate, we make excuses because our consciousness uses history to predict the future, and we feel like failures. Our real prime objective, to take a phrase out of Star Trek, is to grow. Our judgments can prevent growth. When we judge our experiences as good or bad, painful or pleasurable, we stop trying to grow our understanding of what just occurred. The process comes to an end because we mistakenly believe the event to be over. And that judgment gets added to our consciousness, and we do it again and again and again. Here is my rule. We all, every one of us, acts in our own self-interest according to our level of awareness, that is, according to our consciousness. We have two things to understand. One, the level of awareness of the people with whom we interact every day. If we can understand what they're driven by, we will know how to act and behave, if at all, in their presence. It'll also give us insight into whether we should end a relationship with somebody if they are toxic to us. The second thing is the need to elevate our own consciousness so we approach people, things, and situations with as much love as we possibly can. We're going to be so much better off if we elevate ourselves and our consciousness because our consciousness is attractive. It is electromagnetic. And if you want to attract more positive, more loving, more helpful, more successful, more fun things, your consciousness is what is going to do that for you. Growing our consciousness so as to better receive awareness of the presence of divine consciousness within and around us is the way to stop the real war, to stop fighting our consciousness. And you will hear that expression in the prayer that follows. I would like to end this service with a prayer from Christ Returns Reveals Startling Truth, Letter 8. I have pluralized it to include all of us. Father, Mother, Life, you are our life, our constant support, our health, our protection, our perfect fulfillment of every need, and our highest inspiration. We ask you to reveal the true reality of yourself to us. We know it is your will that we shall be fully illumined, that we may better receive awareness of your presence within and around us. We believe and know that this is possible. We believe that you protect and maintain us within perfect love. We know that our eventual purpose is to express you. As we speak to you, we know you are perfectly receptive of us, for you are universal loving intelligence, which has so marvelously designed this world and brought it into physical form. We know that as we ask you to speak to us, we are sending out a consciousness searchlight into your divine consciousness, and as we listen, you will be penetrating our human consciousness and coming ever closer to our increasingly receptive minds and hearts. We commit ourselves and our lives into your care. Thank you. It is so. Amen.